this Wednesday, August 13th, 2025, Planning Zoning Commission meeting to order. I'm Chairman Richard Vineyard, and I'll be presiding over tonight's hearing. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Green?
Here.
Linane?
Here.
Vineyard?
Here.
Williams?
Here.
Forrestal?
Here.
And Crouch?
Here.
Moving on to previous meeting minutes, may I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the July 9th, 2025, Planning and Zoning Commission meeting?
So moved. Second.
Are there any questions or amendments for the meeting minutes? None? May I have a roll call vote on the motion, please?
Yes. Linane?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Crouch?
Yes.
And Green?
Yes.
Very good. The minutes are approved. Moving on to citizens' comments, are there any citizen comments tonight from the public regarding any topic not on tonight's agenda? Seeing as there are no comments from the public, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. There is one public hearing scheduled for tonight, for tonight's Planning Zoning Commission meeting. The purpose of these hearings is to invite testimony from members of the public regarding proposed requests that are being considered before this commission tonight. Public testimony from persons present who wish to speak maybe for or against the request or to ask a petitioner regarding the requests being heard. Once all public hearings on tonight's agenda are closed, the commission will deliberate and vote on their recommendation to the city council for each of the matters that was subject of a hearing. Those persons wishing to testify are asked to speak clearly, one at a time, state your name and who you represent. You're also asked to sign in at the podium. If you plan to speak during tonight's public hearing as a petitioner or as a member of the public, please stand, raise your right hand, and repeat after me. I, state your name. Do solemnly swear that the testimony I'll provide at this hearing is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. For those of you in the public, or if you were planning to speak tonight, that would have been a time you also need to be put under oath. Any of you in the back want it?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I didn't understand what you're saying.
I'm sorry.
Your computer's right in front of you, so.
Anyone who wishes to speak tonight has to swear in. So if you'd like to speak tonight or planning to speak tonight, this is the time to swear in. I, state your name.
I.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That the testimony I will present at this hearing.
The testimony that I present at this hearing.
Is the truth?
Is the truth.
The whole truth?
The whole truth.
Nothing but the truth. Please be seated.
Thank you.
All right. Before we begin, I'd like to review a few rules to ensure orderly and productive hearing. When speaking, please make comments focused on the matter at hand. Avoid personal attacks, unrelated topics, or repeating points that are already made. As chairman, I may limit repetitive remarks or redirect speakers to stay on topic. Any member of the public who repeatedly disrupts or interrupts any portion of tonight's hearing may be asked to leave the chambers. We ask that audience members remain silent during tonight's hearing unless they are speaking at the podium. The court reporter must record tonight's testimony, and the cooperation from the audience will be essential in making her job easier and the transcript of those hearings more accurate. Commission members may ask clarifying questions at any time, and the public may direct relevant questions to the petitioner either through myself or via direct cross-examination. Likewise, the petitioner may respond to public comments and ask for clarifying questions of public speakers. Once all public comments have been heard, I will formally close the public comment period, after which the commission will deliberate and vote. Thank you for your cooperation and your participation. The order for receiving testimony will be as follows. The petitioner's presentation, followed by those who wish to speak in favor or opposition of the request. So may I have a motion to open public hearing on petition number PZC 2025-07, Prologis LP.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Crouch?
Yes.
Green?
Yes.
Linane?
Yes.
All right. PZC 2025-07, Prologis LP, Project Steel. Petitioner is seeking a rezoning, special use for a planned unit development, and preliminary PUD plan approval for a 540-acre data center campus generally located east of Eldemain Road between Cornelius Road to the south and Galena Road to the north in unincorporated Kendall County. Is a petitioner present and prepared to make their proposed request?
We are.
Please.
Good evening. My name is J.C. Witt. I handle data center investments for Prologis in the central United States. And I'll give a quick overview on who Prologis is, and then Greg will get into more details on the project specifics. So Prologis has been in business for about 40 years now. We have ownership all across the globe. We like to say we're a global owner of real estate with local presence. We have about 205 billion assets under management, and of those, there's about 30 data centers in the portfolio, and we've been building data centers for the better part of 25 years. We, like I said, are a global company with local presence. We've been in Chicago for quite some time. We own about 80 million square feet in Chicago, all across the greater Metroplex, but with majority of that being industrial product, and then a sprinkling of data center assets around the O'Hare Airport. We take community involvement very seriously, and here's a picture of our team just this year on our Impact Day, volunteering at the food bank, and are active in all the areas that we own our real estate in. And with that, I'll pass over to Greg to get into the project.
Thank you, JC. Good evening, everyone. My name is Greg Jones. I'm a partner with the law firm of Ansel Glink, and I represent Prologis here tonight. I'm excited to be here to introduce Project Steel. We've had an opportunity to meet with the Economic Development Commission, staff numerous times, the community, the City Council, and this is our next stop. So I'm excited to have a conversation with you folks and learn more about the project. So we have several slides presented for tonight. I'm going to start off at about 30,000 feet, and then we'll zoom in a little bit closer. If you have questions at any point during, just please shout, raise your hand. Feel free to interrupt. We're here to answer as much as we can tonight. So the property in question is 540 acres. It's located on the center of the screen. It's kind of in a teal color. It's probably the closest. Galena Road's on the north, El Domain on the west, Cornelius is located on the south. The property is currently bisected by ComEd power lines. That's the blue, relatively vertical line that cuts from Galena Road down south. And those transmission lines feed into the ComEd substation. It's just south of Cornelius. It's the bright green, kind of rectangular shape on the screen there. The property, as was noted earlier, is located in unincorporated Kendall County. And Prologis is before you tonight because we're proposing to annex the property into Yorkville, rezone the property to the M2 zoning district, which is generally consistent with the zoning of property to the west and the south, and obtain special use approval for a preliminary planned unit development for the site. We've included responses to all of the relevant code standards from the UDO in our application for the sake of time. I'm not going to read those tonight, but those are part of the record, and if you have any questions about them, we're happy to answer those questions.
Very good.
But the purpose of these zoning entitlement requests is to facilitate construction of a data center campus on the property. The proposal is consistent with both the prevailing development trends in the area. There's a Cyrus One data center project located further to the south. ComEd substation is closer to the south, and the ComEd power lines are immediately east of the western half of the site. Project Cardinal, which is another proposed data center, albeit larger than ours, is located north of Galena Road, so adjacent to us on the north. And there are other industrial scale facilities further down the El Domain corridor. So we think that this project is consistent with that development trend, as well as the city's comprehensive plan, which designates much of the El Domain corridor in this area for manufacturing and industrial scale development. Next slide, please. Thank you. So we'll zoom in a little bit closer here. Same, just to get everybody oriented, same directions. Galena Road's up at the top, up is north, down is south, just like the last slide. Prologis proposes to construct an 18 data center campus. The buildings appear in dark gray on the screen. There are also three electric substations that are part of this proposal. Those are the slightly lighter gray rectangles that are located kind of on the southern portion of each of these three nodes. You see the top node, the middle node, the one on the right. And stormwater facilities, access roads, and related public and other improvements. Stormwater facilities are blue, like water. The landscaped areas are green, like grass. and the access roads are light gray, and for them, like a road. We also propose to modernize and reorient to a certain extent the roadway network that currently accesses the area. Presently, Beecher Road kind of forms a fork, and there's a leg West Beecher Road and East Beecher Road, and they tee into each other roughly in the middle of the site. And I'll get into the details on how that would be reoriented a little bit later in my presentation. But Prologis does anticipate at this time, a 15 to 20 year build out period for the full campus. So this is not a quick project. Next slide, please. Okay, so we'll zoom in a little bit closer now. This is a rendering of what a portion of the campus would look like. You see four data center facilities kind of in the background, internal access drives, parking lots, landscaping. Each data center will be two stories tall, measuring between 60 and 70 feet in height. Data centers will be built primarily of tilt-up concrete and metal panels, consistent with construction methods used for data centers elsewhere in the country and really around the world. There will be accent materials as well, glass, glazing. We're going to tend to focus those materials on the entry points for each data center, which provides more of a welcoming front door for the project. And then you also see there's rooftop mechanical equipment, those are chillers, and then also a equipment yard. You see in the closest data center, those kind of rectangular boxes that are smaller than the building, that's representing the equipment yard there as well. Next slide, please. And here's an even closer one. This is one of the entrances to the data centers. This helps you get an appreciation for the different materials and treatments that Prologis likes to use on its facilities. You'll see closer to the ground, the human scale elements, you've got horizontal banding, darker materials near the areas where people will be walking, and less detail as you get higher up on the facade. We find that this design provides, again, kind of a welcoming entrance to the development and at a good focal point to welcome folks in. These renderings aren't construction grade drawings, they're renderings, but they are representative of the type of product that Prologis intends to build here. It gives you an idea for the touch and feel of what the buildings will look like, and that's what's expected to be built. Next slide, please. So I mentioned earlier that there's approximately 15 to 20 year build period. This diagram shows the phasing that we anticipate. And these conversations are still ongoing. Phasing is largely driven by decisions that are somewhat out of Prologis' hands. ComEd's power delivery schedule kind of influences which portion of the site should be developed first. We've been having endless conversations with ComEd, and those continue. This phasing plan represents our best guess at this point on how the site will be developed. Phase one is on the east side of the site, and then the phasing plan anticipates proceeding counterclockwise around the property. The northern node would be the second phase, thank you, and then the central node, phase three, is right there as well. Again, these conversations with ComEd are continuing, so we're trying to find what phasing schedule works best, but this is our best guess at the moment. Each phase is intended to function independently. So what that means is six data centers per phase, one substation per phase. Each phase has its own independent stormwater, detention, access roads, utilities. So it is one campus, but each phase functions, is able to stand on its own. Next slide, please. So we wanted to highlight some of the key design elements that are associated with this. I know it can be kind of hard to appreciate with a site plan on such a large site. We've collaborated closely with city staff to present a plan that balances both the city's feedbacks and the site's unique constraints. This is kind of an odd site with the ComEd right-of-way bisecting it. It presents some unique challenges. We think we've addressed those challenges well, but still challenges nonetheless. The project, it's worth noting at this point too, has shrunk in size significantly from when we initially approached the city. The initial plan called for 24 data center facilities, but through discussions with city staff and evaluating and addressing issues, the site has been revised down to 18 facilities, and that's the plan that's before you this evening. So a few highlights. All data center structures will be set back at least 500 feet from existing residential structures. And in most cases, the data center facilities are farther away, far farther away than 500 feet from residential homes. At the city's request, we've incorporated a 100-foot wide landscape buffer around key portions of the site, along El Domain, Galena, and Beecher. That's kind of the darker green, if you're looking at the screen, the darker green frame or border. That's largely the 100-foot landscape buffer. This area will be landscaped. It's not just going to be grass. It'll be landscaped consistent with city standards, and with the idea of providing an appealing front door to the development. We'll provide a little bit more detail on what that landscaping looks like in a little bit. But within the buffer too, it's important to note that we've proposed in some cases, an 8-foot tall berm, which would also be covered with screening on top to provide an even greater level of screening than what you would otherwise have with just trees. That berm is primarily located around the perimeter of the site, although in response to some resident feedback, we've expanded the berm adjacent to the M1 zone property just on the western edge along El Domain. Thank you for highlighting that. So it's a pretty extensive berm system. Prologis also proposes to construct a 10-foot wide multi-use path along much of the site's perimeter. This provides benefits to obviously more than just Prologis residents in the area, recreation enthusiasts, and it helps the city build out its relatively extensive network of trails and continue to take active leadership role in creating a healthy and well community. And finally, Prologis also plans to replace some substandard rural roadways with nearly a mile and a half of new city standard compliant street. That's the road along the eastern side of the site, other side, just to the right of the detention. There you go. The new East Beecher Road from Corneille's up to Galena. This is intended to provide regional access and circulation benefits in a way that will enhance circulation for the region. Next slide, please. I touched on landscaping a little bit earlier. Here's a depiction, kind of schematic of what Prologis intends to provide. Although the landscaping, if you're looking at the picture on the left, that's far narrower than the 100-foot buffer that Prologis is proposing. So it's representative in terms of types of plantings, but ours is expected to be even deeper and include more plantings beyond that. The idea is to provide kind of four-season appeal. It'll be a mix of conifer and deciduous trees, lower plantings, perhaps something consistent with what you'd see in a prairie. We'll provide different looks throughout different times of the year while still accomplishing the goal of providing screening as well. Next slide. And we can't talk about data centers without talking about noise. Prologis understands that this is possibly the number one question that comes up during data center discussions. I'm sure the commission is well familiar with that as well. The data centers come in many different shapes and sizes. And one thing that is common to all data centers is that they use a lot of electrical equipment, including chillers and servers. You can't have a data center without this equipment. Our data centers incorporate those. It's a fact of life. That said, we've been working closely with staff to ensure the project complies with the city's noise standards. And we can confirm tonight that the project meets the city's noise ordinance and in most cases is actually quieter than what the city allows. The city code allows up to 60 decibels during the day and 50 decibels at night. Our analysis projects decibel readings between 40 and 45 decibels, which is 20 to 25% quieter than what city code allows. What I just said is intended to be depicted on the screen on the right. It's the dark green band is the between 40 and 45 decibel reading. This is challenging to read. We're happy to share this with anybody that wants to take a closer look. Some things translate better to PowerPoint than others, I apologize. We've accomplished compliance and actually exceeding what the city requires. From a sound standpoint, by using a combination of sound walls, berms, landscaping, equipment screenings, reduced fan speed, and related measures. This has been challenging work, it always is, but it's worth it to ensure that the project does not have an adverse impact on the surrounding neighborhood. Next slide, please. We also continue to have extensive discussions with staff about utilities. I mentioned earlier that data centers come in all different shapes and sizes. And some data centers rely heavily, incredibly heavily, on water to cool the equipment that's inside the facility. We understand that Yorkville, along with Oswego and Montgomery, have recently committed to securing Lake Michigan water for the community, which is a big investment and, frankly, a big deal. Lake Michigan water is kind of the gold standard, as all of you know out here. And we're sensitive to being a responsible corporate citizen and not imposing an undue burden on the city's water resources. So to be clear, this data center complex is not a heavy water user. These facilities are not cooled primarily by water, and our analysis indicates that the project will use, on average, roughly the same amount of water that a 50-home subdivision would use. So to use more numbers, it's about 22,500 gallons per day after the cooling tower on site is filled. Now, let's provide a little context. I know in the packet tonight, there was some information on the Westbury Village. Was that the prior proposal from about 20 years ago? Which would have introduced more than 2,000 homes to this property and had the city approved it. I don't know how far it got in the process, but to a certain extent, it doesn't matter. Prologis' development is expected to utilize less than 10% of the water that would have been required to serve Westbury Village. And it will, in fact, consume less water than many single-family subdivisions currently located in the city. For additional context, agriculture water use. Agriculture use relies on water. If you're growing crops, you need water to fertilize to have a successful yield. Water use depends on the type of crop and the location, but a good rule of thumb is roughly 1,000 gallons per day per acre. If you apply that assumption to this property, the total daily water usage from a farm would be more than 20 times greater than the water usage that is anticipated to need to serve these data centers. So, Prologis also plans to construct modern stormwater management infrastructure. That includes detention basins, retention basins, and that will result in a much more controlled collection and release of stormwater on land that has largely sheet drained for probably ever. In addition, Prologis plans to invest heavily in water and sewer extensions, so water mains, sewer mains, roadway improvements, and related infrastructure, all at Prologis' own cost. This will likely include up to 3 miles of new water and sewer main, and we're working with the city to provide a looped and more resilient water system, which will help ensure water consistency and a high level of service. Investing in these improvements will help Prologis, no doubt, but they will also provide much-needed utility capacity for the potential redevelopment of surrounding properties. And that will help the city unlock the region's potential and realize the development goals that are spelled out in the city's comprehensive plan. Next slide, please. One investment Prologis plans to make is to rework the existing Beecher Road road network. And I mentioned this a little bit earlier during my presentation. Beecher Road currently splits. It's in the middle of the screen here. The southern leg is in bright green, and then it goes teal up and to the left. So it's kind of a fork. It currently splits the center of the site. Both of these roads are underimproved township roads that have primarily served agricultural uses for the foreseeable past. Prologis plans to reorient the roadway network and bring these streets up to city standards. First, the section in teal, so the upper left, would be vacated. And next, the segment highlighted in green would be realigned by shifting it to the property's eastern boundary. Next slide, please. And that shift to the eastern boundary is reflected in that blue vertical line that goes from Galena down to Cornhills. That would be the realigned 1.5 miles East Beecher Road. This will result in a single Beecher Road without a jog in it between Cornhills and Galena. In addition to curb, gutter, and other improvements that the city requires for any new street. It also eliminates the underutilized right-of-way, which is West Beecher Road, that bisected the site and created numerous design issues. It's worth noting concerning West Beecher Road that the only properties with driveways that access West Beecher Road are part of the site that Prologis seeks to develop. Next slide, please. I also want to spend a quick minute to talk about the intersection of Realign, Beecher, and Four Neals. The plans currently that we've submitted to the city currently show a traditional intersection, so a T-intersection, four-way intersection. We think that works best and will produce an acceptable level of service for that intersection and the surrounding region and the folks that use it. The city has expressed a preference for a couple of alternate designs, one which would include two roundabouts, that's on the left side of the screen, and the second design would involve a kind of a meandering curve from the intersection up to the eastern boundary of our site. The city's options are intended to keep traffic moving efficiently in and around the site, and we share that goal, and we're continuing to have discussions with staff on what these alternatives look like and what's feasible from a development standpoint. Next slide, please. And this is my last slide, then I will stop talking, I promise. I wanted to provide an overview of some of the other benefits that Prologis' development will provide to the community. Developing any 500-plus acre campus will necessarily involve a significant number of construction jobs, and we expect that to be the case here. Approximately 450 jobs per building is what is expected, and this is an 18-building campus. In addition, Prologis is investing in the community by creating 500-plus permanent, good-paying jobs. These jobs pay much more than a living wage and will help further solidify Yorkville as a destination for employees and their families. This development will also produce significant property tax revenue. Our estimates indicate that upon build-out, the project will annually produce approximately $75 million in property tax revenue. Assuming a build-out period between 10 and 15 years, the project is expected to generate in the neighborhood of $1.5 billion over a 30-year period. That's real money for the school districts and the city to continue to deliver the high level of service that the community expects. And as discussed earlier, Prologis is spending significant money on infrastructure upgrades that will open the door to further redevelopment and investment on surrounding properties as well. I'd like to thank the commission for its time, and be happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you. Do you guys have any questions you want to answer real quick? We'll get back to you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone present who wishes to speak in favor or opposition of this request? This is your only time to speak.
I would like to. I swear.
Can I swear you in?
Yes.
I state your name.
I, John Bryan.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
Got the testimony I'll provide at tonight's hearing.
The testimony I provide tonight at the hearing.
Is the truth.
Hopefully the truth.
The whole truth.
And nothing but the
truth. Thank you, sir.
My name is John Bryan, and I live at Legacy Estates of Legacy Field Farms, and I actually have some property on East Beecher Road, which is how I got the notes for this meeting. I'm just going to make some really quick points of the on the presentation based on Project Cardinal, which is proposed 750 feet from my house. So I'm just going to go really quick because I don't want to take your time because I know a lot of you guys are getting sick and tired of me. So I find it interesting that it's 540 acres with 18 buildings and a 15 to 20 year build out, when Project Cardinal and their 1,037 acre campus with 17 million square feet is, according to them, a 10 year build out. The presenter said he's going to have a welcoming front door to the site for the buildings, and the rest of the buildings, I guess, are just going to look like regular brick and mortar. Or no, there'll be concrete panels. 100-foot landscape buffer. I mean, that's great with an 8-foot berm. That 8-foot berm will definitely not stop the noise, which, because they are going to go instead of water cooled, it'll be air cooled. The chillers on the top of those buildings are immensely more loud than they would be if they were water cooler. and that 8-foot buffer on a 50-foot building will do nothing. Utilities, not a heavy water user. I understand that it's less than a subdivision, but a subdivision brings in people that actually support businesses in the community. Stormwater management, every single development has to provide stormwater management. Infrastructure improvement, every single development has to pay for their own infrastructure improvements, which are on city right of way. So that's not this great big gift to the city. That is normal operating procedures for any development, whether it be housing, whether it be industrial. A $75 million property, or $75 million that will come into the city, the United City of Yorkville, after completion. Last night, it was stated by the city administrator that the $100 million that the 1,037 acres, 17 million square foot data center that they said will bring in $100 million when it's completed, quote unquote, will be a fraction of that. So I don't know how $100 million all of a sudden is a fraction, and now they're saying it's $75 million. And that's it. Those are my quick points. I didn't expect to speak. I'm sorry that I didn't take my oath earlier, but I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. Would you like to speak, sir?
Yes.
Did you take the oath?
No, I did not.
All right. Anybody else wants to do this? Very good. All right. I state your name.
I stand name.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That the testimony I'll provide at tonight's hearing. Is the truth?
It's the truth.
The whole truth?
The whole truth.
And nothing but the truth. Thank you. Please. So could you restate your name when you get up there?
Dan Nagel. I'm a commissioner of the Rob Roy Drainage District. All I'm asking is we have not been contacted as far as commissioners on where your water is going, which it goes to our drainage district. We have about 14,000 to 18,000 acres that run. So we know you're going to have to, no matter what, because you're consolidating it. So that's one of my, that's the reason why I'm here. Because I just wanted to find out what's going on and how they're going to do it. Because this Cardinal one that John was talking about is the same situation. Goes into the Rob Roy drainage system. So both of them are pertaining to quite a bit of drainage. Actually, most everything on the side of Eldermain Road goes in our drainage system. So we are wondering what's going to happen to our little creek that's going to get, we understand it's all control, engineering and everything else, but haven't seen, and I know they're going through the plans, but some of the stuff, so everyone knows what's got to be done, is you're rerouting roads and everything else. So please, if you don't mind, Christy knows who I am, so anyway, thank you very much. Okay,
thank you, sir. You're not ready yet?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, I'll wait a few.
Does anyone else have anything? Would you like to speak? Please.
Lydia Battaglia, and I have a few things to say. I'm kind of in a unique situation. I won't repeat anything that he said. I agree. So me and my family actually moved here from Ohio a year, almost 2 years ago. We've been in Yorkville for a year. Don't know anybody in Illinois or anything like that. Being from Ohio, I'm very, very familiar with data centers. If you guys don't know, Ohio is the hot spot. It's the hot spot. So I guess for me and my family moving here, and I I was on the call that they had, and I'm going to be honest, like, the way you're presenting tonight is not what you were kind of saying on the call. There's a lot of discrepancies that you just presented tonight. But in general, my biggest thing is Yorkwell. We moved to this community because we're like very similar potentials for economic growth, for community growth, for our children. We have 3 children. What does that look like in 30 years for our children? So I guess I have a few things I'd like to bring up that I'd like to just say to Yorkville. Don't sell yourself short. You're selling yourself short. And I'd like to say that we were not contacted. We actually just built a beautiful home and subdivision very close to where these are going to be going. We were never notified because only people within 500 feet of your buildings, which is a whole whopping few people, but I am also in your second largest ward, and your second largest ward was not notified. And there's a lot, I want to get more involved with the community more and more, and I feel like ever since I've moved here as into Yorkville, I feel like I almost can't breathe because I'm just like trying to play catch up of like what I can't make heads or tails of half the things, and trying to find things on your website and contacting different people and things like that it's honestly not very community friendly. We came from a place that went from a township into a extremely thriving, one of the most thriving cities growth-wise in Ohio. So we know growth, but the comments of like, oh, well, we're using less water than a resident, like you said, you're a building. People make communities, okay? You wanna give money to our schools? What children are gonna go to our schools? So I feel like there needs to be a different vision for Yorkville as far as what do you want for your future? What do you want for your children's future? I really thought this was a place that we were going to raise our children forever and maybe our grandchildren would come back, but like what I see happening with these different data centers, and I'm not against data centers, I just want to say that. I'm not against data centers, but the industry I'm very familiar with and things like that, and the gold mine that Yorkville is sitting on with the potential of that area, I'm just kind of like scratching my head, like, what? You have a place that grows vegetables. Awesome. Let's do that. You know? And you're talking about like, oh, crops take this much water. I'm not super familiar, but from what I can tell, all that area you're developing, I didn't see any irrigation for those crops. So you could just take that off your list too. So I just like some of these points you're making, I'm just like, well, you want to make a community path. I'm sorry, what communities did you notify that, hey, we're going to make a community path? What communities are you connecting that you care about that you're actually not bringing into the equation? And I think we have to look at this as a whole, Yorkville, because you've already approved one data center. You have another one. You got another one. Like, the sound, the 8-foot berm thing, I mean, I'm very familiar with data center areas and stuff like that. I'm sorry, that doesn't really do anything. And you're gonna put trees that have leaves for 5-6 months out of the year, and then the rest of it, it's just like, and jobs. Now it's 4 or 5. How many jobs did you say? I mean, you have to take the construction jobs out of it, because what does that do long-term? Because let's be serious, with all the AI coming and stuff like your 500 permanent jobs, there's gonna be a fourth of those jobs in 30 years because it's all gonna be self-diagnosed and blah, 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 and all of things. From an outsider coming in, I'm very confused as to what this actually does for the community long term. I look at Yorkville on a map, look at it, and I'm just like, you guys have so much potential to grow your city to be something grand. But when you start letting mega companies with billions of dollars just say, hey, put some money in your pocket. We're going to give all this money to you. When does my property tax go down? Because let's be serious, it's not going to happen. Our water bill has already said, hey, that's going up 40%. Like, I'm very confused of, like, you guys say you're going one way, but in another way, you're not. So, do you want to invest in community, in people, in businesses that are actually going to, I don't know, put food in your stomach? If you want to let manufacturers come in or something like that, or Menards is right there where you're going to get supplies to build a house or something? No, we're building data centers, one right after another. It's just like you have no mixed medium whatsoever. You're just going to make one big, massive mess. And I'm not even going to talk about the impacts of it long term on the environment and how to get rid of all of that stuff. Yada, yada, yada. And it goes on and on and on. And the sound barrier thing, again, you guys go, oh, well, our site does this, plus another site, plus another company. Let's be serious. We already have, where my subdivision is, we already have a noise ordinance issue with a business, especially late at night. There's supposed to be less noise. There are actually way more noise. And it's frustrating. I can even sit on my back porch and enjoy sweet tea or something. Like, it's at night, it's such a loud hum, and that's just the businesses not far from us, and you guys just want to, like, put one mega thing after another. You want to invest in buildings. You're not investing in future. So I guess that's what I'm going to say tonight, and I agree with every single thing you said and more. 8-foot berm, okay, do the math. 1 plus 1? Thank you.
My name is Tammy Schleining. I am probably the closest property to this development out of anyone. We are enveloped at 790 Eld Main Road, directly around all of this. Be thankful I forgot my phone at home because it had everything I wanted to hit on tonight. I did send Chrissy an email about some situations that I feel are going to deeply impact us. I know there's more impact to the community, but I'm just here to talk about basically me. We have a dwelling that is within 500 feet of building number 10, I believe it is. Our drive entrance actually has the entrance right next door, the main entrance to this facility with their signage. I brought up concerns about that being directly next to our drive. I brought up concerns about our well. We are in a well and septic system. I am deeply concerned about our well being impacted by this development, from construction, sediment, contamination, to affecting the groundwater, to where I have seen several reports of facilities that are nearby these developments further than us that are having deep impacts on their well. I have a problem with the multi-use walkway, which I think is ridiculous to go from a dead end to another dead end. It's basically going from our property line to Galena Road and around. So it basically is just a little tiny multi-use walkway. I'm not even sure who's really going to use that out in the middle of nowhere. The 30 employees that will work full-time, because I believe I was told it will be 3 shifts of 10 employees at some point. So I'm not sure after construction phase.
I'm so sorry to cut you off, ma'am. I apologize right here. The audience, please, while she's speaking, keep it down. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So I'm not sure long-term where all of these employees are coming from, if it's only being ran by 3 shifts of 10 employees each. So maybe that walkway would be good during their break. But otherwise, I think it's pointless to have a walkway that's going to basically take no one nowhere but from my property line around building down Galena Road to the other road. I also am concerned about the noise, generators, when these generators are running, the effect that it's going to have on us with the level of that noise. I have seen some locations that limit generator usage to so many hours per year. I am also concerned about electricity. With all this coming in, how many times is my electricity going to go out? I run a small business out of there. I am concerned about my equipment with power going on and off constantly. I don't know what that looks like with ComEd building. I'm not sure what that looks like when the power goes out from the power grid and now these generators are running at night, which I believe they're only supposed to run during the daytime is what I was told. I'm not sure if that's just testing of them. I am concerned. I know in the back they had made a change to put a berm up, which for me, I'll take any little bit of spacing I can, even though it's not really going to affect any sound. It just gives us more space between them and us. The new proposal has a berm going behind us, but I would like to see that on the side that has the dwelling all the way down to the entrance as well, to be wrapped around and give us a little bit more room. The lighting, I was told it had some kind of low lighting, but it's also a very tall building. So for us, it's going to probably look like daylight 24/7. Contamination, just, you know, what happens with, you know, groundwater contamination. I mean, there's just so many things. So I did send Christy an email of all of my concerns. But for me, I'm just looking to see if a lot of that just can be addressed before. I know this is more about the land changing to manufacturing, but before any of that other stuff gets finalized, you know, I'd like to be involved a little bit to make sure that it's not affecting us longer term than it is.
Sure.
So that's all I have.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak? Anyone in Zoom land?
Raise their hand.
Anyone in Zoom land, you'll need to raise your hand so that we know who would like to speak. Nothing. All right, seeing as there's nothing.
Are you going to read the comments in the record?
Yes, would you like that to be added into the record?
No, his
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Yep. We want to place into the record. Everyone got a memo from Mr. Gilbert. It was sent on 8/13 over the EDC meeting. Everyone had a chance to see this. You guys have any questions with it? All right. He'd like this to be entered into the record.
He would like you to read it.
Yeah. By the way, I'm just letting them know. All right, members of the Planning and Zoning Commission, we write in opposition to certain proposals submitted by Prologis LP in regards to their Project Steel data center development. Specifically, we object to 1, the proposed vacation of West Beecher Road adjacent to our property, the former Hagman property, and 2, the proposed rerouting of Beecher Road through the former Meyer property. First, the vacation of West Beecher Road would eliminate a secondary access point to our 138-acre site, the former Hagman property. As you know, this property is owned M2 General Manufacturing District, which permits a wide variety of manufacturing, industrial, and related uses. Green Door has marketed and intends to develop the Hagman property consistent with such uses. Vacating West Beecher Road would devalue the Hagman property and severely impact future development by eliminating secondary access to the site. Similarly, the proposed rerouting of Beecher Road through the former Meyer property would severely impact the development potential of this site. The Project Steel proposal would effectively cut the property into 2, eliminating the contiguous nature of the site and rendering the property worthless from a developmental purpose perspective. It is important to note, unlike Project Steel site, both Hagman and Meyer properties are currently annexed to the city.
I can't hear you.
Sorry. I gotta get closer.
Yeah, there you go.
Green Door truly values its relationship with the city, and we look forward to more successful projects in Yorkville and continued productive collaboration with the United City of Yorkville team. Respectfully, Green Door Capital Manager, as Yorkville Nexus LLC owner, GD Hagman and Yorkville Nexus, 5 LLC, is owner GD Meyer. It's Matt Gilbert from Green Door Capital. Good. We're good. Petitioner, would you like to have your standard responses entered into the public hearing tonight?
Yes, please.
All right, very good. All right, this is the conclusion of the public hearing. Since all public testimony regarding this petition has been taken, may I have a motion to close the taking of testimony and this public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Williams?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Crouch?
Yes.
Green?
Yes.
Linane?
Yes.
And Vineyard?
Yes. Public hearing, a portion of tonight's meeting is now closed. Unfinished business, seeing as there are no items under unfinished business for discussion, we'll move forward to new business. Staff, could you please present your memo summary on PZC 2025-07, Prologis LP, Project Steel, request for rezoning, special use for a planned unit development, and preliminary PUD plan approval for the 540-acre data center campus.
Okay, so the petitioner did a great job explaining the layout of the site, so I'll just focus on some of the recommendations from staff's memo and a little bit of history on the property. The petitioner did mention that this 540-acre portion would consist of 16 parcels to be annexed into Yorkville, were at one point part of a larger planned residential development called Westbury Middle, North, and West Villages. It was a PUD. It came to the city in 2006. The city approved it at a preliminary stage, but never moved forward with the annexation or rezoning. So there in your site, in your packet, there's a site plan of what that preliminary plan looked like. And sorry about that. As mentioned, it included about 2,600 units, which were single family townhomes and multifamily. The request for rezoning, when a property is annexed into Yorkville, it is zoned as the most restrictive residential zoning, which would be R1. So the petitioner is seeking to rezone simultaneously with their request of annexation that the City Council had a public hearing on last month to go to the M2 General Manufacturing District. With those standards, a data center and the substations that are proposed are permitted within that M2 zoning district. We just wanted to highlight some of the adjacent land uses to show compatibility with this particular development. So on the north, you also have a manufacturing land use. To the east, you have farmland, but solar farm, as well as a transportation land use. To the south, you have manufacturing as well as other land uses, and in consideration of the site's location, as well as to the west, you have manufacturing. So this development is within an area that is trending toward manufacturing, even though there is farmland and some transportation land uses around. The PUD that the petitioner is seeking allows for some flexibility in the zoning regulations, in consideration that they meet at least one of our standards that we deem appropriate for a PUD. So the standards that the developer has addressed that they feel that they meet are two, actually. The first being funding or construction of public roadways, as well as regional utility improvements. So these improvements, yes, will benefit the site, but they will also make surrounding land uses more valuable. They will have access to reconstructed and updated roadways, as well as potentially if there's any upsizing of utilities, connecting to those utilities, and the developer could possibly get recapture as well. The proposed preliminary plan the developer has presented, as they mentioned, has changed over the time from 24 to 18 buildings. But the layout similarly remains the same. There's interior parking areas placed away from the external view of the adjacent roadways, all surrounded by security fencing. An approximately 84-acre parcel is to the east of the development, but that will remain undeveloped at this time. They are contemplating future land uses for that area. The phasing, as the petitioner mentioned, right now is heavily contingent upon ComEd's location of where they're going to start bringing the utility to the site. However, if you go down to the next page, staff would just like to mention that this particular development has straddles, rather, two of our public school districts. So you have the Yorkville School District to the north of this red line, and then you have the Plano School District to the south. So the purple area indicates phase one, and staff had recommended that if they can start in phase one, start in the area that is within the Yorkville School District, or look at starting in a different phase that will be wholly in Yorkville School District, so they will realize the benefits faster of this development from real estate tax revenue. And the developer said that they are open to that, but again, they are in ongoing coordination with ComEd regarding the power design for the site.
Of course.
As we mentioned about the vacation of West Beecher Road, there is a map in your packet that shows there's a portion of Cardinal site, which is the data center developer to the north, which would be affected by this vacation of West Beecher. So right now, West Beecher is not a city roadway. It is part of Bristol Township, and we can't do any vacation at this point. Only and until the development is annexed into Yorkville, then it becomes under the jurisdiction of Yorkville, and then we will go through a public hearing process for the request for vacation of West Beecher. So as I mentioned, this right now is an underutilized, unincorporated section of roadway. We indicated that there are three parcels that would be affected by the vacation, and they're indicated in blue, but these parcels are part of the ownership that is seeking this request. So they will then eventually have the homes demolished so that there is no residents that will be without access to roadway. The city continues to work with the developer when it comes to the realignment of Beecher Road and how we, you know, would address that. But they also are working with the developers of Cardinal to the north to address the West Beecher. Sure. So that solution may look a little different than what's presented now, but we will have that nailed down before we go to any final approval stages. And then the requested PUD, as I mentioned, there's flexibility in the PUD. Sure. They are requesting 13 deviations, and staff has talked through those deviations in writing, kind of bolded out what staff's findings are, and I'll go through those briefly. One has to do with building setbacks. They're requesting a 0-foot building setback for the interior of the site, not for the boundaries of the site. And staff is supportive of this request, but recommends, again, that minimum 500-foot building separation from the nearest data center building or structure to the nearest residential or commercial structure, which the developer has agreed to. Permitted uses, we have a request that they are away from any future standards being adopted by our UDO. We just recently adopted standards that mimic what staff is requesting in this memo. So we are comfortable with that for the period of 20 years, as they are agreeing to the recommendations here in staff's memo. There's a maximum building height. In the M2 district, there is no building height restriction. However, we are proposing a maximum of 70 feet building height for any data center buildings that are within 1,500 feet of a residential structure. The petitioner, their average building height was about 56 and a half feet, and then when you have rooftop equipment, they max out at 70 feet. So none of their buildings will exceed 70 feet. The maximum lot coverage, they are 85% is what's the maximum for the M2 district. They are well within that range at about 60% in phase one and 30% in phases two and three. Nice. Parking requirements, as mentioned, they have lesser than anticipated parking needs because of the data center usage itself. So they are requesting a reduction in the percentage count of how we do parking. This is consistent with other data center developers that have come before us. So standard would be 2,000 spaces, give or take. They're offering about 1,400 spaces, and they are providing electrical vehicle parking, correct, as we've requested. Oh, sorry, I told to speak a little louder, come a little closer. Vehicle cross-access. We do require that. Usually it's more for commercial development so that vehicles are not trapped or having so many curb cuts. Due to the impracticality of security concerns for data centers, there's no need for cross-access to any adjacent parcels that are not within their development, so we're okay with that. We are supportive, but further recommend an updated traffic study and traffic management plan be required that addresses conditions during construction as well as post-development. And within those requirements for the construction, during construction, we're asking that the developer provide a communication strategy and an on-site point of contact during construction if there are any issues. Pedestrian circulation, I know there's been comments of why are we adding a pedestrian access. Well, that was a recommendation of our Parks Department so that connectivity can happen to the south of the development off of Galena. So in consideration of this waiver that they don't have public streets and public sidewalks, they are providing 10-foot multi-use walking trail. So in hopes of development in the future and existing trail networks that the connections are there, there are people that do like to either bike or to walk the city, and you know, these are things that we have been told they are in need of in the city. So we're responding to resident comments on that. The developer is going to provide one off-street loading space per the requirements of the district, of the UDO district for M2 landscaping. Again, they've addressed the comments from the neighbor, and they have provided an updated landscape plan. It's not very easy to see on site or in paper, but on the city's website, we have all of the documents that are presented tonight, including the petitioner's presentation uploaded. So you can go to yorkville.io.us, look under community development, and thank you. And you will see a tab that says current projects. So current projects will list all of the projects that are currently under consideration, and then you can click on that and find all of the documents that are in the packet and presented by the developer. We update those as soon as we receive new project information, and today we received their initial noise study. So on Zoom, we have Amy Lalime, who is our consultant for our noise study. She has not had an opportunity, I won't speak for her, but I don't believe she's had an opportunity to do an in-depth review of their noise study, but I will give her an opportunity to kind of speak on what her initial thoughts were. So I'm going to, can you have, you don't have to pull it up, but you can just allow Amy to speak. Amy, are you there?
Yes, hi, I just got unmuted. This is Amy Lamine. I'm from Soundscape Engineering. I'm the acoustical consultant who has been hired by the City of Yorkville to peer review sound studies that are conducted by Project Steel and their consultant. So Shiner Acoustic is the group that did this assessment, and I briefly read through their initial noise study. And as you said, Christy, I don't have, you know, all of my thoughts put together in an official statement. I know that, I will have some questions and comments on this, but similar to the initial noise study for Project Cardinal, they did a site noise measurement survey. They measured sound levels at four different sites around the area for a period of 3 or 4 days, and collected LEQ, which is kind of like the average sound level, and L90, which is the quiet background level that is exceeded 90% of the time. So it's the quietest 10% of the time, the sound level that would be during that quietest 10% of the time. And they also conducted 3D computer acoustic modeling of the site. They put in chiller noise sources, generator noise sources. It's not clear to me from this study exactly how many generators were included. And they also assessed different mitigations. They, similar to Project Cardinal, decided that the best mitigations would be low noise chillers. And they also included sound barriers, which I guess you can see in this rendering that's on the screen. They have a barrier planned around the top of the building and on the ground around the generators. Their assessment shows that the city's noise ordinance can be met with low noise chillers and generators. And we'll be digging into this more and providing more comments, but just a general overview that they have done some work in this area.
Thank you, Amy. And we'll just skip over a couple of the items that were addressed by the petitioner, the architectural, the appearance standards. Street design was an important component as well as to the vacation of roads, but the roads that they will be required to reconstruct or make improvements to. So we are recommending that the petitioner do a reconstruction of East Beecher Road from Cornelius to Galena Road, intersection improvements at East Beecher Road and Galena Road, Cornelius Road reconstruction across the frontage of the subject property, including the ComEd parcel. Intersection improvements to East Beecher Road and Cornelius Road, and may include a rerouting of Beecher Road south for roundabouts, as we talked about. And all improvements will need to be verified upon the submittal and approval of a full traffic impact study, which should occur prior to the approval of an infrastructure agreement. Brad Sanderson, the city's engineer, is here tonight, so if you have any questions from the commission about the road or traffic, he'd be happy to answer those, unless you have anything else you want to share.
Nothing at the moment.
Okay. Finally, we can talk about the development itself being subject to a couple of recaptures. So unlike Cardinal's parcel, there are two recaptures that affect this development, one being El Domain Road itself. At some point, El Domain Road was turned over to the county. They did a lot of improvements to the roadway system of El Domain, extending it, doing a bridge, to the tune of about $6.3 million. So any land that's annexed that has frontage along El Domain Road is required to pay their share towards repayment of those improvements. This particular development has about 1,800 linear feet along El Domain Road. So their obligation toward the recapture is approximately about $295,000, which will be paid at time of final plat. Furthermore, the Bright Farms development extended some utilities within the area, and in 2022, the city had an agreement which talked about the extension of the sanitary sewer service in the area and including a recapture for any developments that tap into that. That development was at a cost of about $3.2 million. Bright Farms fronted $1.9 million, or a majority of that, and the agreement includes a recapture provision allowing Bright Farms to recover about $1.9 million. So the finalized number for this development and their recapture payment is still undetermined until we get a final utility agreement and numbers and a utility study completed. And just some additional recommendations. So we adopted the data center standards, and I just want to reiterate some of the things that people are talking about that the city has taken a very serious look at and did a robust study. And these are the things that we are requiring as operational conditions for any data center. So there will be strictly no nuclear energy uses on the site. A noise study in two phases will be required. The initial noise study, which is what this developer has provided, and then a final noise study prior to build out for building permitting, just to make sure that we are consistent with meeting the local noise limits in the area. This will be peer reviewed by a third party, which would be Amy's company. And any mitigation plans in their noise study will ensure that operational noise does not exceed the city's current noise ordinance regulations. Furthermore, we are requiring continuous noise monitoring devices installed at the onset of construction, and it reports will be provided to the city throughout the life of the project. This is recommended by the city sound engineering consultant to verify that ongoing noise compliance is being met at these particular developments. Operational testing, that was a question that was brought up. Operational testing of emergency backup generators will be limited to the hours of 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. on weekdays and not on any holidays. The petitioner will be required to provide an emergency operation plan, an EOP. This will be submitted to the city's building and fire protection, and the Bristol Kendall Fire Protection District prior to any issuance of a building permit. It'll address procedures for fire suppression, hazardous material spills, evacuation, communication in case of an incident. Training sessions and drills and or walkthroughs with the fire and police shall be required prior to occupancy permit. Designated contacts for emergency services and a plan to broadcast information if an incident could affect the public. And they must work with KenCom emergency managers to be a part of their text or siren alert systems. Building code standards, we're requiring higher building code standards for data centers that uses the battery systems, so the lithium ion
yep.
batteries. There's battery storage requirements. Again, it's, you know, they have to be located so far away. There's an evacuation plan, fire detection alarm systems, indoor storage rooms will have to be monitored as well. It goes on and on. You're familiar with the NFPF. The structure must provide a 2-hour fire resistant rating enclosure if it is going to have a battery storage system. We talked a little bit about the comprehensive plan. The plan is at the end of its horizon. It was approved in 2016. They're usually good for 10 years, so we will be reevaluating our plan. But this area was designated as estate conservation residential during a time in which the city wanted to concentrate on the phantom, as we called them, subdivisions that had started and stopped. We have made significant progress in finishing out a lot of those subdivisions, so that we need to focus on the next stage of development, our next vision for the city. So we will be doing an update to our comprehensive plan. But at this stage, any changes as time brings about trends of development, we will be initiating changes or amendments to our comprehensive plan as we go along, as we have been. With other developments. And then finally, there's development agreements outside of the PUD agreement that the developer has engaged with the city, and we are on ongoing talks to just talk about offsets, infrastructure funding, other aspects of development that will be beneficial to the city as a whole. And the developer has mentioned that they did hold, at the request of the city, a community meeting with area residents, HOA Caledonia, as well as other landowners in the area on July 31st. And that has been a stance that we have requested for all data center users before they come before a public hearing.
Okay. Very good. Do any of the Planning and Zoning Commission members have any questions for the petitioner or staff?
I do.
Go, Jen.
So is the new location for Beecher Road, is that going through their current property, or is it just being moved to somebody else's at that point all the way through?
It'll be along the eastern edge of their property.
So it will be on their property?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Can I remind everyone to make sure they lean real close to the mic? Thank you so much.
I don't have enough cable over here. Sorry, Christy, I want to get closer. Does anyone have any other questions?
No other questions.
I have a question.
Please, Lee.
In regard to the memo from Mr. Gilbert, is there any way to deal with that issue?
I can speak to that a little bit. It's something that we actually met with Matt Gilbert and his team last Friday. At least up to that point, we hadn't seen a site plan, so they did share a site plan with us. And I know there's been further conversations with Project Steel and Project Cardinal. So I'd say that's under consideration and discussion. And certainly, you know, the city has a lot of interest in making sure it works with the parties. It's actively being discussed.
So it's fair to say at this point it's not a done deal?
It is not. Certainly, there's a lot more staff discussion that needs to take place, city staff, in conjunction with the Project Steel, Project Cardinal, and the Gilbert folks.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I do have one more question, too. I know this is probably maybe not part of it at this time, but Tammy actually spoke about being really close right by her property. I think she had a couple valid points. Are we, the city, addressing those, some of those points, like that her like if her water does get contaminated, that's an end game for stuff like that. So we will be addressing that as a city, and we'll be addressing some of those issues, right?
Sure, absolutely. So Tammy and I have had some conversations previously. We've responded to some questions. She provided us with a list of questions today that she wanted some more in-depth information for. So I told her we would be gathering that. We'll be working with the petitioner, working with the different staff that can address those questions and give her a comprehensive response by the end of this week. So it will happen before this goes to the next meeting, which would be a city council meeting on the 26th of August.
Thank you.
I do have one question for the developer. If it came down to adding berm, subtracting berm to kind of be neighborly to them, or is that something you guys are willing to do? In a project of this scope, I see this as kind of minor, but something major for them.
Yeah, that's a good question. We've already done that through feedback that we've received from that resident. We've added additional berming to the plan as well. We're sensitive to those concerns, and as Christy said, we received as well the list of questions, so we're going to be working on providing responses back to those as well.
Mark, thank you.
If we're annexing into the city, I'm assuming that we're running city water out as well, correct?
Yes.
Would that be down the New Beecher Road? Is that the current?
The plan is still being finalized, but there probably would be basically the water main will be looped in multiple locations, so I definitely would envision water main going down East Beecher as well as other locations.
That's all needed. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
I have one more question.
Please.
The people from Robroy Creek, are you going to have a conversation? Robroy Creek impacts that entire area. And it sounds like, in the case of Cardinal, it doesn't sound like they talked to them. It doesn't sound like you've talked to them. I'm wondering what the status is.
We are going to talk to them, actually. We're seeking preliminary approval right now. And the engineer details related to stormwater and runoff and everything are truly fleshed out during the final phase. So staff's notified us that we need to have conversations with them. There's a lengthy list of folks we need to have talks with. They're on it. We're absolutely going to get to them. It's not going to be overlooked.
Good. Thank you.
Cool.
Anybody else have any questions for him before he gets up again? Commissioners, is that it?
I'm done.
You're done? You sure?
I am.
All right, perfect, Mike. All right, staff. Please read the standards for each of the requested action items and the petitioner's response for our discussion.
So although Greg did not want to read them into the record, I will read them into the record. All right, so we have two requests that have standards associated with them. The first would be the rezoning or map amendment. So I'll read the standard, and then I'll read the petitioner's response, and then if there's any discussion or agreement, we'll have the committee or commission respond. Standard one. State how the map amendment is consistent with the comprehensive plan and the purposes of the UDO. The comprehensive plan identifies the subject property's future land use as estate conservation residential. However, the comprehensive plan also acknowledges future land use designations are intended to be adjusted as circumstances warrant change. Area development patterns and opportunities have changed significantly since the comprehensive plan's adoption in 2016. The need for data center infrastructure has increased dramatically in recent years, something that Yorkville has acknowledged by amending the EDO to encourage data center projects generally, and more specifically by approving a data center project just south of the subject property. Yorkville has embraced industrial and energy redevelopment along the El Domain Road corridor, including on property immediately south of the subject property, which, like the subject property, the comprehensive plan designated for future development as conservation, estate conservation residential. Zoning the subject property M2 upon annexation is a logical extension of the zoning and development pattern Yorkville has already embraced.
Commissioners, do you guys have anything to add to that? We agree.
We agree.
Standard 2, state how the map amendment is consistent with the existing and planned uses of nearby properties. The El Domain Road corridor is planned for industrial and energy uses. Yorkville approved a data center project last summer at the intersection of El Domain Road and Faxon Road. ComEd distribution lines bisect the subject property, and a large substation is located just south of the subject property. An industrial-grade farming facility, Bright Farms, is located immediately south of the subject property, and we understand a solar farm will shortly be built east of the subject property. Yorkville has recently invested significantly in regional water and sanitary sewer infrastructure upgrades that would support the redevelopment of the subject property with additional industrial and energy uses. Prologis development represents the logical extension of the existing use pattern and realization of Yorkville's intended outcome for the area.
Commissioners, do we agree?
We agree.
Standard 3, state how the proposed zoning designation is suitable for the subject property. The M2 zoning district provides suitable regulation for future development of the subject property. The properties on the east side of El Domain Road, adjacent to the subject property and extending south to the train tracks, a distance of 2+ miles, are almost uniformly zoned M2. Applying the M2 district to the subject property is consistent with the area's existing zoning composition. Further, the M2 district accommodates large lot campus-style developments consistent with Prologis' proposal. The subject property is large enough to mitigate potential off-site impacts, although few such impacts are anticipated, through the use of buffers greatly in excess of minimum setbacks, screening, and perimeter landscaping. Further, the proposed data center and electric utility uses are permitted by right in the M2 district.
Commissioners, do we agree?
We agree.
Standard 4, state how the proposed map amendment will not result in an individual parcel zoned in one zoning district that is not shared by an adjacent parcel. The property located immediately west of the subject property is zoned M2, the same zoning designation Prologis seeks for the subject property. The property located south of the subject property is occupied by an industrial agricultural use, Bright Farms, and is zoned PUD. The east side of El Domain Road corridor from Faxon Road on the south to Cornelius Road on the north is uniformly zoned M2. Rezoning the subject property to M2 district is a logical northward extension of the M2 zoning district.
Commissioners, do we agree?
Yes.
We agree.
Standard 5. State how the subject property will meet the minimum frontage and area requirements in the M2 district. The M2 district does not establish minimum lot size or lot width standards. Regardless, the subject property has frontage on 4 public streets, El Domain Road, Galena Road, Cornelius Road, and Beecher Road, and contains 540 acres. The subject property will utilize that space and right-of-way adjacency to develop a thoughtful campus that is mindful of adjacent land uses and aesthetic integrity.
Commissioners, do we agree?
Yes.
We agree.
Standard 6, state the community need for the proposed land use. Technological advances have increased the need for the data center infrastructure to support the modern economy and a rapidly advancing society. Developing the subject property as a data center campus will position Yorkville and the entire region for continued growth while delivering increased tax revenue and infrastructure upgrades necessary to support Yorkville.
Commissioners, do we agree?
We agree.
Standard 7. State the length of time the subject property has been vacant as zoned, considered in the context of the land development in the area in the vicinity of the subject property. The subject property has been farmed for many years. The comprehensive plan acknowledges the subject property will redevelop upon annexation, and Yorkville has recently and consistently embraced industrial and energy uses in the surrounding area. Allowing the subject property to redevelop as a data center campus will allow the subject property to be improved in a manner that is consistent with Yorkville's development goals for El Domain Road corridor.
Commissioners, do we agree?
Yes.
Yes.
We agree.
Now the standards for special use and PUD. Standard one, the establishment, maintenance, or operation of the special use will not be unreasonably detrimental to or endanger the public health, safety, morals, comfort, or general welfare. The proposed data center campus will promote the public health, safety, and welfare. The proposed M2 zoning designation allows data centers and electric substations as a permitted use. Communicating Yorkville's commitment to attracting and supporting these types of developments. The development will produce significant construction jobs as well as long-term employment opportunities for area residents and generate significant tax revenue for Yorkville. Prologis seeks to invest significantly in the 500 plus acre subject property that has been long used for agricultural purposes and help Yorkville to establish itself as a regional leader in modern economy.
Commissioners, do we agree?
Yes.
Yes.
We agree. Do you want me to read some? Sure.
Yes, right. I will let you know.
Okay.
Standard two, the special use will not be injurious to the use and enjoyment of other property in the immediate vicinity for the purpose already permitted, nor substantially diminish and impair property values within or near the neighborhood in which it is to be located. Despite the high level of investment associated with creating a data center campus of this scale, data centers are passive uses that rarely impose negative impacts on surrounding properties. The subject property is divided by ComEd right-of-way, one of the reasons the subject property is appealing for data center users. The property located west of the subject property zone, M2, the same zoning designation Prologis seeks here. Properties on the north are occupied by an industrial concrete plant, Kendall County Concrete, and north of Galena Road, additional agricultural land uses. To the east is a solar farm that should shortly come online and additional agricultural land uses. To mitigate potential impacts on neighboring properties, Prologis seeks setbacks, proposes setbacks that greatly exceed those required by the M2 zoning district and enhance landscaping along the subject property's perimeter. The development is consistent with nearby uses and zoning rights and, in some cases, far less intense than neighboring uses. Prologis' proposed investment in the subject property is estimated upon completion to exceed $1 billion, which will increase nearby property values.
Commissioners, do we agree?
Yes. I would, yes. I don't agree with all of it, but I don't agree with the fact that it's going to increase the value around it per se, especially in some of the subdivision cases and so on and so forth like that. I think it's going in the right direction as far as the area it's in. I believe that it's in a corridor like that, but I do not believe it's going to be increasing the value of the immediate surrounded area.
Do you have any problems with the rest of it?
No.
Okay. I'm in complete agreement with that. What I was going to ask as well is if they are to vacate Beecher Road, we have to have a separate public hearing for that, correct?
Correct.
Okay, yes. So I'd be okay with saying approving everything else then.
Yeah.
It's when we get to that bridge, we cross it then.
Correct. We agree.
Standard three, the establishment of the special use will not impede the normal and orderly development and improvement of surrounding properties for uses permitted in the district. Yorkville previously determined that it is sound policy to allow data centers as a permitted use in the M2 zoning district. The data center and substation uses are not responsible for Prologis' special use request. The UDO allows these uses by right. Instead, the special use request is driven by the UDO's requirement that the subject property develop as a PUD, or planned unit development, because of its size. Allowing Prologis to establish a permitted use on the subject property will promote consistent development along the El Domain Road corridor, much of which is also zoned M2. Developing the subject property as a PUD also provides predictability to nearby property owners as Prologis is committing to construct the development on a schedule and in accordance with certain plans and agreements. This level of transparency is both unique and beneficial to surrounding property owners.
Commissioners, do we agree?
I'm going to say yes.
What's your concern?
Again, it just goes back to everything we've seen so far tonight with the surrounding areas, the Green Door Capital complaints, that kind of stuff.
Okay. But the spirit of it we're agreeing with?
Yes.
We're in agreement.
Okay. Standard 4, adequate utilities, access roads, drainage, or other necessary facilities have been or shall be provided. The subject property is nearly surrounded by public streets that provide more than sufficient access for this relatively passive use. Consistent with industry standards and end-user requirements for data centers, vehicle access to the subject property will be provided primarily by private access drives, all of which will be privately constructed, maintained, and operated. This arrangement significantly reduces maintenance obligations Yorkville would otherwise assume if the access drives were publicly dedicated right-of-ways. Each data center facility will have a looped driveway to provide emergency services and other necessary access to all sides of each structure. Prologis will also invest significantly in regional water and sewer utility upgrades necessary to serve the subject property and promote future redevelopment opportunities in the area. The subject property will also be served by numerous stormwater facilities that will provide a greater degree of control than previously exists during storm events.
Commissioners?
Yes.
I agree.
I personally believe that this is a benefit to the Rob Roy Drainage District. You're controlling the water runoff into retention ponds and the sewer systems rather than a creek. We agree?
Yes.
We agree.
Standard 5, adequate measures shall be taken to provide ingress or egress so designed as to minimize traffic congestion in the public streets. Data centers are a relatively passive use. Unlike other commercial industrial uses, data centers generally do not generate significant traffic, particularly during normal and evening peaks. The development is designed to primarily accommodate vehicle traffic internally, which reduces the need for users to rely on public streets when navigating within the campus. Nevertheless, the development is accessible from Galena Road, Eldemain Road, Cornelius Road, and the realigned East Beecher Road. This design reduces reliance on public streets while still preserving a healthy level of access to the subject property.
Commissioners, we agree.
Yes. Yeah, with the exception of construction, 150 people, whatever, I think that after construction, yes, it will be. But.
Sure. Yeah, we're all in agreement that there's going to be some growing pains with construction, but
especially a 15-year project. But that's also a good way to mitigate it.
That is a good, yeah. And I think we have a pretty robust standard of staying on top of this. I mean, we're continually monitoring.
Oh yeah.
I don't know what else. I don't know what else the city can do to mitigate that. I'm in agreement. Anyone else?
Yes. I am. I'm just
sure.
Just
being nope.
Specific.
Nope. Thank you. We're in agreement.
Standard 6, the proposed special use is not contrary to the objectives of the city's adopted comprehensive plan. The 2016 comprehensive plan expressly acknowledges that Yorkville should update future land use designations as circumstances change. Since 2016, the data center industry has grown exponentially, a change that Yorkville has positioned itself well to capitalize upon. Yorkville recently approved a data center project south of the subject property and has actively rezoned much of the Eldemain Road corridor to the M2 zoning district. Yorkville's UDO, the document primarily responsible for implementing the comprehensive plan's vision, allows data centers and supports uses as a permitted use in the M2 zoning district. Allowing a data center to be built on the subject property represents the logical implementation of the policy direction Yorkville has adopted over the last few years.
Commissioners, anything?
I agree.
We agree.
Okay, finally, the PUD standards. Standard 1, please state how the PUD is consistent with the goals, objectives, and policies set forth in the comprehensive plan and other adopted city plans and policy documents. The comprehensive plan acknowledges that future land use designations should change as circumstances change. Since the comprehensive plan's adoption in 2016, the demand for data center infrastructure has increased exponentially. Simultaneously, Yorkville modified its UDO to allow data centers as a permitted use in certain zoning districts, approved a data center project just south of the subject property on Elder Main Road, and modified the future land use designation of the adjacent property to the west from estate conservation residential to industrial. Prologis' plan to develop the subject property as a data center campus represents the logical northward extension of the land use pattern Yorkville has embraced along the Elder Main Road corridor.
Commissioners, we agree?
Yes.
We're in agreement.
Standard two, please state how the PUD is laid out and developed as a unit in accordance with an integrated overall design in which the various land uses function as a cohesive whole and support one another. The subject property will be developed in a comprehensive and cohesive manner consistent with the preliminary plan accompanying Prologis' application. The preliminary plan divides the work into three phases, each of which will be self-sufficient. Prologis proposes only two uses for the subject property, data centers and electric substations. These two uses are complementary to and reliant upon each other, and the subject property will be developed as sufficient power capacity is secured. The subject property's perimeter features enhance setbacks and landscape treatments that communicate a high level of design and provide a consistent quality front door for the development.
Commissioners?
Agreed.
We're in agreement.
Standard three, please state how the PUD is designed, located, and proposed to be operated and maintained so that it will not impair an adequate supply of light and air to adjacent property and will not substantially increase the danger of fire or otherwise endanger the public health, safety, and welfare. The proposed development will not impair the supply of light or air to nearby properties, nor will it substantially increase the danger of fire or endanger the public health, safety, and welfare. The development features two-story data center facilities located on predominantly flat land. The height of these buildings, coupled with perimeter setbacks that greatly exceed what is required in the UDO, will not materially impact light supply. Within the site, the buildings are set back from each other at a sufficient distance to have no meaningful impact on light or air supply. Each data center facility is surrounded by a drive aisle wide enough to accommodate two-way traffic, including emergency service vehicles.
Commissioners, we agree?
Yes.
Yes.
We agree.
Standard four, please state how the PUD includes uses that are generally compatible and consistent with the uses of adjacent parcels. If the uses are not generally compatible, all adverse impacts have been mitigated through screening, landscaping, public open space, and other buffering features that protect uses within development surrounding properties. The proposed data center campus is consistent with the use and zoning of nearby properties. As discussed earlier, much of the Elder Main Road corridor is zoned M2, the same designation sought for the subject property. Yorkville recently approved a data center campus on the property located south of the subject property. ComEd right-of-way, occupied by transmission lines, passes through the middle of the subject property, and a large ComEd substation is located south of the subject property on the opposite side of the Cornhills Road. Establishing a data center campus, which is permitted by right in the M2 district on the subject property, is consistent with Yorkville's existing and future development goals for the area.
Commissioners, do we agree?
Yes.
We agree.
Standard five, please state how the PUD is designed so that the adequate utilities, road access, stormwater management, and other necessary facilities will be provided to serve it. The subject property is nearly surrounded by public streets and provide more than sufficient access for this relatively passive use. Consistent with industry standards and end user requirements for data centers, vehicle access to the subject property will be provided primarily by private access drives, all of which will be privately constructed, maintained, and operated. This arrangement significantly reduces maintenance obligations Yorkville would otherwise assume if the access drives were publicly dedicated right-of-ways. Each data center facility will have a looped driveway to provide emergency services and others necessary access to all sides of each structure. Prologis will also invest significantly in regional water and sewer utility upgrades necessary to serve the subject property and promote future redevelopment opportunities in the area. The subject property will also be served by numerous stormwater facilities that will provide a greater degree of control during storm events than presently exist.
Commissioners, we agree?
Yes.
We agree.
Agreed. Last standard, standard six, please state how the PUD does not substantially adversely impact an archaeological, historical, or cultural resource included on the local, state, or federal register located on or off the parcels proposed for development. The proposed development does not substantially adversely impact any known archaeological, historical, or cultural resource. Prologis is unaware of any such resources, and should one be identified, Prologis will work cooperatively with Yorkville to address any reasonable concerns.
Commissioners?
Yes. We agree.
All right. May I have a motion to approve PZC 2025-07 Prologis LP, this project steel for the rezoning?
So moved.
Second.
Can I have a roll call on the motion, please?
Yes. Forrestal?
Yes.
Crouch?
Yes.
Green?
Yes.
Linane?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
And Williams?
Yes.
All right. Motion is approved. May I have a motion to approve PZC 2025-07 Prologis LP Project Steel Special Use for Planned Unit Development?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Can we read them?
We need to read.
Would you like me to go back and read?
Please.
Rezoning. I was going to interrupt, but I don't want to. In consideration of testimony presented during a public hearing on August 13th, 2025, and approval of the finding of fact, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council a request for rezoning from R1 Single Family Suburban Residential District to M2 General Manufacturing District for Project Steel, a proposed future data center campus generally located east of Elvenant Road between Cornelius Road and south. Cornelius Road on the south and Galena Road on the north, totaling approximately 540 acres. That was for the rezoning, which we just approved.
Okay, we'll vote. I'll have you revote.
Revote.
Welcome back. Thank you. He's keeping me in line. May I have a roll call vote on the motion for rezoning?
Yes. Forrestal?
Yes.
Crouch?
Yes.
Green?
Yes.
Linane?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
And Williams?
Yes.
All right. The rezoning is approved. May I have a motion to approve PZC 2025-07 Prologis LP Project Steel for Special Use for Planned Unit Development?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you.
In consideration of testimony presented during a public hearing on August 13th, 2025, approval of the finding of fact, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council of a request for special use authorization of a planned unit development for Project Steel, a data center campus to be generally located east of Elkman Road between Cornelius Road on the south and Galena Road on the north, totaling approximately 540 acres, subject to the conditions enumerated in the staff memorandum dated August 4th, 2025.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Forrestal?
Yes.
Crouch?
Yes.
Green?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
And Linane?
Yes.
May I have a motion to approve PZC 2025-07 Prologis LP Project Steel Preliminary PUD Plan?
So moved.
Second.
The Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council of the Project Steel Preliminary PUD Site Plan prepared by Logan Engineering, dated 05-16-2025 and revised July 25th, 2025.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Forrestal?
Yes.
Crouch?
Yes.
Green?
Yes.
Linane?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
And Williams?
Yes.
Motion's approved. Moving on to additional business. Is there any additional business the city would like to update us on?
Our planning intern, Drea Sandoval.
Yes, there is. So first, the PCC 225-10, Heartland Meadows West, LLC, which requested a final plat approval for 20 single-family residential lots and the four commercial outlots. This final plat was approved by the city. Additionally, for PZC 2045-11, the Fox Alden subdivision, which is 105 townhomes on approximately 13 acres of land, their final plat request was also approved.
Thank you. Seeing as there's nothing further on tonight's agenda, may I have a motion to adjourn, please?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Meeting adjourned at 8:44.